Afternoon. I'd like to thank my dad for preparing this sermon for me. Well, wish I could have heard Brother Dan talk about this topic. This was his topic, but just want to make sure that this topic is represented at this year's renewal. Maybe when we see you again, Brother Dan, if you're listening, you'll be able to explain to us some of your thoughts. Acceptance of God. Now, this is not us accepting God. This is talking about what God accepts. First of all, the very first mention of acceptance with God is pretty early in the Bible. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, "But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Well, there is the problem. This is what God wants. This is what God accepts. He accepts those who do well. Well, we see we already have a problem with all the human race, that God demands well-doing, and we do not provide that to God. So hopefully you see that acceptance of God is a very valuable thing and also a very rare thing for God to accept someone. Think about God's acceptance. Now, God does not decide whether or not to accept you. What I mean by that is that His acceptance isn't based on some decision that He can arbitrarily make, well, I'll accept you and not you. His acceptance is based on His character. It says in Psalm 11:7, "The righteous Lord loveth righteousness." You see how what God loves is based upon who He is. He is righteous, and therefore He loves and He accepts righteousness. And so we can see that what God accepts really demonstrates who He is. He told Moses, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. So here we see God describing Himself, and He's describing His attributes, but also right along with this, He describes His behavior toward men. It's placed like right next to His character. And this is because God's dealings with men reveal His character. And so when we're talking about what God accepts, we're really talking about who God is. Because God accepts those who are in line with His character and with His nature. I'd like to look at four different aspects of acceptance with God. Four different points or notes to make. First of all, I want to be clear that there's no such thing as a partial acceptance with God. There isn't like a second-rate acceptance. There's not different levels of acceptance of God. It's either you're accepted or you're not accepted. And there's no in-between. Now, to illustrate this, I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage from the law. Deuteronomy 28:2-6. "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be the basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And it actually goes on farther than that. Now, you don't get blessed in the basket and not the store. You don't get blessed when you come out, maybe not when you go in. See, God's blessings really all, they come as a package deal. You're either accepted by God or you're not. What if you're not accepted? It says a little later, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. You see, if God does not accept you, he really doesn't have anything for you. If you don't get to the point of acceptance by God, there is nothing for you. You don't get a partial blessing if you're partially good. So the first thing we need to know about acceptance, it's all or nothing. Now, when we talk about God accepting someone or something, there's criteria which God evaluates when he's going to decide whether to accept something or not. To be accepted, there must be nothing lacking. God doesn't accept something that's partial or halfway. Now, this also is an outflow of God's nature. This is because of who he is. This isn't some decision he makes. God accepts only perfection because God is only perfect. God accepts only a completeness because he is complete. Some people didn't seem to understand this about the Lord, and he addressed this in Malachi. Verse 8 of chapter 1, he says, "If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" So God doesn't take an offering that's blind. He doesn't take something that's imperfect. This is because God is perfect. If you want to be accepted by the Lord, you have to be perfect. Note number 3, acceptance is more than tolerance. Acceptance is when God is pleased with you. Now, there's no one who God just grudgingly lets into heaven. There's no one who God grudgingly accepts. There's no one in heaven God tries to avoid because he doesn't really like him all that much. When God accepts someone, God is pleased with that person. Brother Jeremy read the parable of the talents. Now, did God accept the person who gave one talent back because he got back what he started with? No. He was not pleased, and he did not accept what this man had done. So acceptance means much more than just a grudging admittance into heaven. Point number 4, acceptance is being brought into the presence of God. So when we ask, why do we care about being accepted of God? Well, it's because those who are accepted of God will be with him for eternity. Those who are not accepted of God will be exiled from him for eternity. You notice acceptance is not come alone. It comes along with a great number of benefits. 2 Corinthians 6:17, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You see that when God says, I will receive you or I will accept you, it's not just a stamp which God places upon you as this person is accepted. No, he said, I will receive you and be a father unto you. It's when God accepts someone, receives them, he receives them into his family and provides them great many real and eternal benefits. Now, we've talked about what acceptance is, but really the first verse that I read kind of disannuls all this, makes it really a moot point for us in ourselves. Because the bad news for humanity is that we were not complete, and God is not pleased with us, and therefore we are kept far from the presence of the Lord. Because God says, if you do well, wilt thou not be accepted? That's the criteria that God uses. Well, I have good news for you because there were some people and the Holy Spirit deemed their assessment of Christ good enough to include in the Bible. It says they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. So when we talk about Christ, he is the one who can do all things well. He is the one that Cain could not be. And he can provide a sacrifice to the Lord that is acceptable by him. I'm going to go back through these 4 points and show how Jesus relates to each one of these. There is no such thing as a partial or a second-rate acceptance. We can see this demonstrated in the Jews and the Gentiles. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which, that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So we see that the Gentiles didn't get a second-class citizenship. We are fellow citizens with the saints. And the reason that there's not this halfway in or partially accepted is because acceptance is in Christ. Jesus is the one who did well and is accepted. Therefore, if you are in Christ, you get it all. If you are out of Christ, you get nothing. That's why there's this sharp dividing line between acceptance and rejection by God. That line is Christ. Acceptance means that there's nothing lacking. It means that God is satisfied. Isaiah 53:10-11, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. It said that the Lord was satisfied with Christ. This is Christ fulfilling this requirement of absolute completion and absolute perfection. And in Christ, God is satisfied every demand. I mentioned earlier that God's acceptance is a revelation of his character, and his character was perfectly in line with accepting Christ, because Christ is perfect. Third thing is that acceptance is more than tolerance. It said, there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, God accepted Christ, and it didn't just mean that Christ was okay. It didn't mean that Christ barely squeaked by. It meant that God was pleased with him, and he said, I am well pleased in my Son. And now, the way this relates to us is that in whom I am well pleased. In Christ, he is pleased in us. As we are in Christ, he is well pleased with us too. And then the results of acceptance is being brought near. Hebrews 10 had talked about the acceptance of Christ's sacrifice, that the one offering was good enough. It was the perfect and the one accepted by the Lord. So our result from this, what we get from this, is that we have therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This is what acceptance looks like. This is what acceptance of Christ looks like for us. So when God accepted Christ, this is what we get because we are in Him. We are brought near. Final passage is from Ephesians 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now see how this satisfies God's perfection requirement. We've been blessed with everything we need to stand before the Lord by Christ. This is how God can accept us. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You see, this is adoption. This is brought close to the Lord. And you see the good pleasure of His will in acceptance of us. And this is to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in Christ. This is a demonstration of who God is, that He has accepted us in Christ. It's a demonstration of who He is, that He has not accepted us apart from Christ. But praise the Lord, we can be brought near, and we can be accepted, not just tolerated, we can be embraced, and we can please the Father by the work of Christ.